The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Kessler Foundation, End Tide, announced October 17th. The jobs report, persons with disabilities are going up in the workforce. From the East Oregonian, legally blind teen sees with e-sight glasses. From Anthony Stevens, expanding equal access in the skies. And from the website link, how to make in-flight entertainment accessible by apex.aero. And Microsoft's Seeing AI app now reads handwriting. Today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. At prweb.com, releases, End Tide, October 2017 Jobs Report. Job numbers reflect increasing inclusion of Americans with disabilities in the workforce. The major economic indicators continue to reflect increasing inclusion of Americans with disabilities in the workforce, according to today's National Trends in Disability Employment. Monthly update, End Tide, issued by Kessler Foundation and the University of New Hampshire's Institute on Disability, UNH-IOD, Dateline, East Hanover, New Jersey. The major economic indicators continue to reflect increasing inclusion of Americans with disabilities in the workforce, according to today's National Trends in Disability Employment Monthly Update, NTID, issued by Kessler Foundation and the University of New Hampshire's Institute on Disability. Results from a new national survey show that many employers have implemented practices and processes for recruiting, hiring, training, and retaining people with disabilities. The 2017 Kessler Foundation National Employment and Disability Survey, Supervisor Perspectives, underscores where success is being achieved and reveals opportunities for maximizing inclusion in the workplace. In the Bureau of Labor Statistics, BLS, jobs report released Friday, November 3rd, the employment-to-population ratio for working-age people with disabilities increased from 27.9% in October 2016 to 30.5% in October 2017, up 9.3%, 2.6 percentage points. For working-age people without disabilities, the employment-to-population ratio also increased from 73.1% in October 2016 to 73.7% in October 2017, 0.6 percentage points. The employment-to-population ratio, a key indicator, reflects the percentage of people who are working relative to the total population, the number of people working divided by the number of people in the total population multiplied by 100. For the 19th consecutive month, the proportion of people with disabilities working has continued to grow, and once again, their gains are outpacing those of people without disabilities, according to John O'Neill, Ph.D., Director of Employment and Disability Research at Kessler Foundation. The duration of this upward trend shows that individuals with disabilities are striving to work, and the process and practices employers are using to recruit and hire people with disabilities appears to be paying off, he added. The labor force participation rate for working-age people with disabilities increased from 31.3% in October 2016 to 33.3% in October 2017, up 6.4%. 2 percentage points. For working-age people without disabilities, the labor force participation rate also increased from 76.5% in October 2016 to 76.6% in October 2017, up 0.1%. Labor force participation rate is the percentage of the population that's working or actively looking for work. Although the job numbers remain positive, we need to remember that people with disabilities have yet to achieve their pre-Great Recession employment levels, said Andrew Houghtonville, Ph.D., Associate Professor of Economics at UNH and Research Director of the Institute on Disability. Kessler Foundation's 2017 survey, by identifying effective practices and processes for inclusion of people with disabilities in the workplace, provides new direction for efforts to narrow the employment gap between people with and without disabilities. On October 10, 2017, results of the Kessler Foundation National Employment and Disability Survey Supervisor Perspective perspectives were released on Capitol Hill. More than 3,000 supervisors responded to the survey, sharing their views about their employers' processes and practices for promoting success in the workplace for employees with and without disabilities. The results indicate how effective each of these processes and practices are for all employees and provide new information on what works for individuals with disabilities and where to focus efforts to achieve greater progress. Looking at the practices that work for individuals with and without disabilities is especially revealing, noted Dr. O'Neill. Just as universal design makes spaces usable by all, these practices can make employment more accessible for everyone. Despite being viewed as effective, however, some practices are being underutilized. For example, only 40% of supervisors had access to training in accessible application and interview techniques, although in general they viewed this as very effective and feasible to implement. Similarly, short-term outside assistance was seen as very effective for training of all employees, but used by only 19% of companies. Supervisors reported working from home, flexible scheduling, and job sharing as effective accommodations for all employees, but implementation was limited in many companies. The survey results provide a new imperative, said Dr. O'Neill. Better implementation of effective practices is a pathway to greater employment opportunities for individuals with disabilities. The 2017 survey was commissioned by Kessler Foundation and conducted by the University of New Hampshire Institute on Disability. This is the first survey to look at the effectiveness of these practices from the perspective of supervisors of employees with and without disabilities. Learn more at https://www.kesslerfoundation.org/KFSurvey17. In October 2017, among workers aged 16 to 64, the 4,721,000 workers with disabilities represented 3.3% of the total 144,931,000 workers in the United States. The Next End Tide was issued Friday, December 8, 2017. Join our End Tide Lunch and Learn series. Apparently, it's a broadcast hosted via Zoom webinar. Offers attendees Q&A on the latest End Tide findings, provides news and updates from the field, as well as invited panelists to discuss current disability-related findings and events. Drs. Andrew Holtonville and Kimberly Phillips of the University of New Hampshire joined Dr. O'Neill and Denise Roselle, policy strategist at AUCD, to discuss today's findings from the 2017 Kessler Foundation National Employment and Disability Survey, Supervisor Perspectives. You can join live or watch the recordings at http://www.researchondisability.org/nTIDE. Note the statistics in the NTIDE are based on Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers, but are not identical. They are customized by UNH to combine the statistics for men and women of working age 16 to 64. NTIDE is funded in part by grants from the National Institute on Disability, Independent Living and Rehabilitation Research, and Kessler Foundation. About the Kessler Foundation. Kessler Foundation, a major nonprofit organization in the field of disability, is a global leader in rehabilitation research that seeks to improve cognition, mobility, and long-term outcomes, including employment, for people with neurological disabilities caused by diseases and injuries of the brain and spinal cord. Kessler Foundation leads the nation in funding innovative programs that expand opportunities for employment for people with disabilities. For more information, visit http://www.kesslerfoundation.org. About the Institute on Disability at the University of New Hampshire. The Institute on Disability at the University of New Hampshire was established in 1987 to provide a coherent university-based focus for the improvement of knowledge, policies, and practices related to the lives of persons with disabilities and their families. For information on the NIDILRR-funded Employment Policy and Measurement Rehabilitation Research and Training Center, visit http://www.kesslerfoundation.org. http://www.researchondisability.org. Legally Blind Oregon Teen Sees with Electronic Glasses. www.eastoregonian.com. Dateline Eugene, Oregon. Riley Gow, 15, has been legally blind for the majority of his life. Now that's all changed. Gow can now see. Gow, 15, recently asked the community for some help to raise $10,000 so he could purchase computerized glasses that allow him to see the world through a new and clearer lens. The community responded with a resounding yes and donated more than enough to cover the cost of the electronic glasses made by Canadian-based company eSight. The young man has a passion for music and plays the drums in Thurston High School marching band, but has struggled to keep tempo with his bandmates as he can't clearly see what the other percussionists or his band director are doing. In fact, he can see only things that are within inches of his face. But that wasn't the case at the 65th Annual Springfield Christmas Parade, as Go marched through the rain with his fellow bandmates, playing joy to the world with a big smile on his face, seeing everything and everyone around him clearly for one of the first times. Before the start of the parade, Go stood under an awning and practiced the Christmas songs he was about to perform as he waited for his mother to deliver his new glasses. Friday was the first time Go had tried them on. He was sitting in the band room when his mom first delivered them, and he said he was overjoyed. I could see what was in front of me. I could see what's on the board. I could see my friends. It was amazing, he said. I can see now. Go was born with albinism, an inherited genetic condition that reduces the amount of melanin pigment formed in the skin, hair, and eyes. He also was born with optic nerve hypoplasia, a condition that prevented the back of his retinas and his optic nerves from becoming fully developed. The eSight glasses, which resemble a headset for a video game, feature a high-speed, high-definition camera that captures everything the user is looking at. Then eSight's algorithms enhance the video feed and display it on two screens in front of the wearer's eyes. The person wearing the headset sees full-color video images clearly with no lag time and can zoom in. The user also can capture photos and video with the device. Go's mother, Kristen, said seeing him try the glasses on for the first time was emotional. It brought tears to my eyes, she said. You think about the things you take it for granted by being able just to see clearly. I'm so happy for him that he gets to see the world around him now. Anthony Stevens writes, in 2016, the Department of Transportation convened representatives from the airline industry and disability rights community to participate in structured negotiations around the Air Carrier Access Act, a law that predated the ADA by 4 years, establishing similar rights to access for passengers with disabilities in the skies. ACB played an integral role in the negotiations, tasked with finding compromise between advocates and industry across a wide range of accessibility concerns. One of these issues addressed was to develop guidelines for accessible in-flight entertainment systems. Touch screens on the backs of seats were becoming more common and increasingly difficult for passengers who were blind to access in-flight movies or communicate with the flight crew. At the same time, audio-described movies have been on the rise but not previously available to commercial airline passengers. The job of finding a solution to the issue was given to a work group of industry stakeholders under the direction of the Airline Passenger Experience Association, APEX. Over the course of 10 months, ACB met weekly with technical experts from APEX, representatives from the airline industry, and WGBH's National Center on Accessible Media. Together, we worked to develop a pathway forward for accessible in-flight entertainment and communication systems. The group submitted its recommendations in November to the Department of Transportation, which will help guide the department on drafting proposed regulations. Throughout this time, international airlines were beginning to work on their own systems. Air Canada was one of the first to produce an accessible in-flight experience, followed by Japan's ANA Airlines and Virgin Australia. Most recently was Virgin Atlantic, who has become the first domestic U.S. airline to provide accessible in-flight entertainment systems. We wanted to share with you the article below, which highlights the work Blue Box and Virgin Atlantic have done to provide passengers who are blind and visually impaired with access equal to that of other passengers. ACB is excited by Virgin Atlantic's determination to make in-flight entertainment accessible for all passengers. having played a leading role during the 2016 negotiations and subsequent technical writing group. The ACB looks forward to further expansion of accessible in-flight media and communications across the industry. Warmest regards, Tony Stevens, Director of Advocacy and Government Affairs, American Council of the Blind. Here's the link that was provided in that notice. www.apex.aero2-12/how-to-in-flight-entertainment-accessible-visually-impaired-passengers. David Brown, Business Development Director at Blue Box Aviation Systems. The Apex How-To Series features experts in fields ranging from product design and operations to sales and marketing, who offer guidance and tips on topics that influence the airline passenger experience. In this installment, David Brown, Business Development Director, Blue Box Aviation Systems, shares tips on making in-flight entertainment, IFE, accessible for passengers with sight loss. Brown was part of the team made up of representatives from Blue Box Aviation Systems, Virgin Atlantic, and the Guide Dogs for the Blind Association that developed an accessible IFE platform for the airline's visually impaired passengers. The platform launched on December 1st, making Virgin Atlantic the first global airline to offer accessible IFE to passengers with sight loss across its entire fleet. Because AIFE uses the Blue Box AI solution, which is a portable platform, it expedites the fleet-wide delivery of accessible IFE to airlines and presents an alternative to upgrading existing systems. What is the key to designing accessible IFE for visually impaired passengers? Involve target users of the solution, people with actual visual impairments. Be sure to address a range of impairments such as sensitivity to brightness, ability to distinguish high contrast elements on screen, ability to use if text/video size is large enough, ultra-high zoom levels, and total sight loss where audio description is the only solution. We quickly realized that we had to build multiple methods of access into the GUI to make it useful for the maximum number of different types of visual impairments. Ensure some members of the user group are familiar with accessibility features of the technology. They were very helpful in guiding us in what is useful and what elements can be omitted. But remember, not everyone is familiar with touchscreen technology or what is typically included in an IFE platform, especially in this community where the move to touchscreens has made IFE less accessible than it had been previously. Some members of our user group were totally new to tablets. Home buttons and swiping left were foreign concepts for them. So we had to go back to the basics of tablet and touchscreen use before even approaching how to navigate IFE content menus. Consistency of GUI features, simplicity in design, and ease of use are critical. Keep things like the information button in the same place on each page so the user knows where to tap to go back to the instructions should they need a reminder. Where did you start? We started with our Blue Box AI solution. As it's a portable platform, we knew we had the potential to offer something that could expedite the fleet-wide delivery of accessible IFE to airlines facing the challenges of upgrading mixed fleets with different types and vintages of IFE systems. With fair and equal access to the same IFE content being one of the key issues behind the drive for accessible IFE, we knew that the provision of early window content, EWC, would add to the challenge. As Blue Box AI is Hollywood approved for EWC, we just needed to redesign the GUI and then passengers with sight loss could access the same IFE content as the person next to them. Our user group member, Paul Smith, makes this point well in the video. He's excited to know that when he flies with his children on Virgin Atlantic, he can enjoy the same Hollywood blockbuster comedy they do and laugh along with them. What kind of research was done to prepare? Asking for input from the intended user group was critical. It was an iterative process with face-to-face sessions where the group could experience and provide input on disparate versions of the platform. Blue Box is a member member of APEX's Accessibility Working Group. So we were already aware of legislation and what's happening across the industry with respect to accessibility, but we also looked at accessible travel market trends and the same issues airlines have faced by not offering IFE for visually impaired passengers. It was clear there is a need, both from passengers and airlines, and an opportunity for us to deliver a solution. Though we knew iPads are the market-leading tablet for people with visual impairment, we had to research Apple iOS accessibility functionality, how to leverage the substantial built-in accessibility features and further enhance the devices for IFE-specific requirements. For example, we already do GUI translations for Blue Box AI, so understanding the extent of the iOS's capabilities for different languages meant we could develop the AIFE platform to meet different market requirements. For example, the voiceover feature supports 30 languages, so we're able to AIFE as a solution for airlines across many different regional markets. I'm sure they omitted the word offer. Can you identify any sources of inspiration? Our initial inspiration was a presentation by Air Canada and what they were doing with their IFE GUI for visually impaired passengers. Designing an accessible GUI is well within our skill set, and realizing that doing so on a portable solution could actually help airlines achieve fleet-wide accessible IFE faster. It inspired us to get our development team working on a mock-up based on our Hollywood-approved Blue Box AI platform. We knew we'd need an airline sponsor, so we asked Virgin Atlantic if they'd be interested in collaborating. As a long-standing customer, we were aware of their commitment to accessibility, and their relationship with the charity Guide Dogs helped us get introductions to a group of users willing to provide their input on the project. But our user group was the real inspiration for us more broadly. They taught us so much about their experiences as people using tablet technology and as passengers experiencing airlines' special assistance support, and why this project was so important to them. Independence, personal control, equality. It's inspiring for us to know we could play a role in bringing equality and independence to their passenger experience, not just in-flight entertainment. What was the most critical stage in the process? Absolutely, the most critical stage was establishing a user group to get user input into the development. That said, this is a new solution for the commercial aviation market, so we couldn't ignore the fact that from our perspective as solution providers, our stakeholders are airlines as well as users, both with different types of needs. So this had to be a three-way development project, with us as the developers, our user group providing critical design input, and of course our airline partner with whom we work to address the content, logistical, and crew training elements involved. What were the main challenges faced by your team? Not letting our personal experiences with IFE systems and touchscreen technology unconsciously bias our design assumptions. Having our user group kept that in check. Any other important information, guidance, or tips? Although we've developed a powerful solution for delivering accessible IFE for passengers with sight loss, we know technology alone won't solve the problem entirely. Blue Box AIFE is a platform that has to be filled with content, and that's where we and our airline customers have to look outward to the studios and other content providers. Though the availability of subtitle tracks and closed captions is extensive, the same can't be said for audio-described content. We hope that those who create and distribute content will continue to expand the titles available with AD and geared toward the interests of this community so that airlines can offer an even richer content set for passengers with visual impairments. We know it's out there to an extent. In fact, at APEX Expo, one content provider got in touch with details of their content design, produced, and aimed at people with sight loss. There's so much more to be done. As an industry working together, we can do it. From www.engadget.com, Microsoft's Seeing AI app for the blind now reads handwriting. Artificial intelligence took center stage at Microsoft's AI Summit in San Francisco. ago. Aside from announcing AI smarts for a range of software from Bing to Office 365, the tech titan is also ramping up its Seeing AI app for iOS, which uses computer vision to audibly help blind and visually impaired people to see the world around them. According to Microsoft, it's nabbed 100,000 downloads since its launch in the U.S. earlier this year, which convinced the tech titan to bring it to 35 countries in total, including the European Union. It's also getting a bunch of new features. The app now boasts more currency recognition, adding British pounds, U.S. dollars, Canadian dollars, and euros to its tally. Going beyond the color in a scene, it can also spot the color of specific objects like clothes. Plus, it's no longer restricted to just short printed text, with handwriting recognition now part of its skill set. You can also customize the voice that it uses to speak its observations out loud and set how fast it talks. Finally, a musical light detector alerts you to the light in an environment with an audible tone. Microsoft claims the tool will save users from having to touch a hot bulb or LED battery to check if it's on. Despite the big update, there's still no word on an Android launch. From the GoGo Gazette at GoGo Grandparents. Parent.com. Rides available 24/7. No need to schedule in advance. Call 1-855-464-6872. Relax, rides are easy now. A huge update. GoGo Grandparents' mission is to help people retain their independence, but over the last couple months, many of you have shared that using your phone's touchpad limits you from making the most of our service. We were devastated to hear this and got to work right away on our newest feature. Today, we are excited to share introducing voice commands. How it works. Step 1, reply to an email or call us at 855-464-6872 and tell the operator you want voice commands. Step 2, when you call in, you'll hear please press 1 or say home to order a ride that'll pick you up from your home. Please press 2 or say last location to order a ride that'll pick you up where we dropped you off last. For anything else, press 0 or say operator. Step 3, tell us where you want to get picked up by saying home, last location, or operator. Note, if for any reason we can't make out what you're saying, you'll be automatically transferred to an operator. Extra, extra, a new menu item. You might already know that when you call in and press 1, we'll order you a ride that'll pick you up at home. And if you press 2, we'll order you a ride that'll pick you up where we dropped you off last. But what about if you're somewhere else? Starting today, if you're not at your home or your last location, you don't want to wait in the queue for an operator. Call us and press 9. You'll be given the chance to say the address of where you want to be picked up, skipping the menu and ordering a ride. Be sure to speak clearly and say the entire address. If we can't make it out, we'll forward you to an operator. Spread the word. If you know any folks that were waiting for this feature, reply to the email or click on a link to become a GoGo ambassador, GoGo Grambaster, and we'll send you postcards to help spread the word. You can also share online by clicking the Facebook or Twitter circles on their website. From GoGo Parent, GoGo Grandparent, https://gogograndparent.com. From AFB's Vision Aware newsletter, au revoir, Maureen. At the end of the year, Maureen Duffy stepped down as writer-editor of the Vision Aware blog and key contributor to the editorial team. Maureen had been involved with Vision Aware from its inception under AWARE, through the launch and then on to its sustained presence at AFB in 2012 in partnership with Reader's Digest Partners for Sight Foundation. Since coming to AFB, Vision Aware has far surpassed other websites in offering critical information on all aspects of vision loss in a holistic way to millions of people worldwide. In the 5+ years that Vision Aware has been at AFB, the site has had over 6.6 million visitors, with over 40% coming from other countries. Furthermore, Maureen dedicated 8 years as a peer reviewer to the Journal of Visual Impairment and Blindness, JVIB. She also revised and updated Making Life More Livable, a book produced by AFB Press that is an essential guide for adults experiencing vision loss, as well as an invaluable resource for their families and friends. We've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138. We wish you a happy new year.